All right, and from girls basketball, we're going to switch now to Northeastern Conference High School football. And we're going to welcome back in Jim Rudloff of the Marblehead Magicians. And, Coach, welcome back. How are you?
I'm great, Rick. Thank you. Very good.
That's sort of the word of the day. People are happy to be here and out on the field. Jim, how does this stack up against years previous? Man, you've been around a while, and this is kind of a strange setting. And I'm just wondering how you had to modify your preseason schedule before we talk about the team and the game you had.
Obviously, there were a lot of changes that all the teams and all the coaches, you know, had to deal with. You know, the biggest of which we actually, you know, there's a lot of good news to this because everything that we had anticipated with the weather really hasn't happened to this point. You know, we were afraid our fields would be covered in snow. The frozen tundra, you know, kids, with their fingers freezing off. And it's been, we've had relative luck as far as that's concerned. You know, and then the next thing is obviously dealing with, the COVID, and it is what it is. I think we're at the point now with everybody, they're used to wearing the masks. It's insane seeing the kids out there wearing masks as they're doing wind sprints or anything really with football. But it is what it is. The kids are used to it now. It's really, there's nothing to complain about. It just, it's become a part of life,
mm-hmm.
sadly. But we've been very fortunate with the weather. So it's been very enjoyable to be outside because it's been so long since we've done it. But the added, not having that miserable kind of snowing, freezing that I think some of us anticipated, we've been very fortunate.
The continuity, Coach, between the end of last season, the end of the school year, which kind of got messed up, and then the summertime and some practices that you had, you know, in the fall. But then the continuity in terms of, well, are we going to have a fall two season or not? How do you get that across? How did you get that across to your team? And what are the pluses and minuses in terms of their coming in to that first day of practice?
Yeah, it's funny because I would imagine most coaches are a little bit of control freaks, and to have
yeah.
What's happened over the last year and a half, you lose control of everything. You know, there were certain points in time that we felt like we had a good handle on what was going on with the kids. We were able to do some off-season conditioning, you know, last summer, you know, non-sport-specific stuff, getting the kids out on the field running. And then all of a sudden, as we got closer to the start of school, most of the superintendents asked us to stop, just, you know, the idea of let's get everybody, you know, back into school before we continue having sports or anything like that. So sports kind of came to a dead stop, even if you were doing something over the summer. And we didn't really start up again until really towards the end of September, really the beginning of October, we started being able to, you know, maybe work with the kids one or two days a week. And the problem there, you and I had talked about this before, you know, our coaches weren't being paid, so
mm-hmm.
we really couldn't work football with the kids. I could meet with the kids after school and have them run in the back fields, but you know, the fall sports teams, they all had the field. Our weight room is closed, so finding stuff to do is really difficult. And the hardest sell to the kids was getting them to keep busy, getting kids to join a gym that they might be able to go to, or set up a gym in their house, or to go running or to do push-ups or anything like that. It was really difficult because all the normal tricks that we have up our sleeves, you know, those were spent by the time we had gotten to the fall of last year.
Yeah. How'd you stay positive, Coach? Because nobody knew where this thing was going to go, and you're coaching, you're teaching, you know, and you have a vision. How did you personally stay positive with this?
If you know me well, I'm not that positive of a person when it comes to most things. I usually will dwell on the negative kind of internally. So it was tough. One of the things I will say is that Dan Bauer, as much as begrudgingly, you know, like Dan was very good because Dan made sure as the principal of Marblehead High School that everything was positive. And, you know, for me, it was sort of like, oh, yeah, you know, Dan would end an announcement with, you know, and everybody have a great day. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, great day, you know, football, you know. Here we are in the middle of September, and we can't get out on the field. And But, you know, honestly, it's people like Dan, and being around a lot of the people that I work with at Marblehead High School are very positive people. The secretaries, the all the other teachers, the staff, the cafeteria people, they're great, you know, and being around that helps out a lot. And the kids never kind of lost sight of the fact that at some point, you know, we're going to be back out there. I don't know if the kids ever got the seriousness of the coronavirus. So I don't know really how much they were inconvenienced, but I don't think it ever made them negative. So I think that really more than anything else was a big part of it. I did struggle with it. You know, I think all the coaches, they only wanted to be doing one thing last fall, and to not be doing that is difficult.
Right.
And, you know, for us it was, but certainly for the kids, it's 100 times worse. You know, they've got a limited amount of time where they can do this, where, you know, us fools, we can stay doing this as long as we want until someone fires us. So
that's the thing, Jim. You know, you're a coach and you're a dad and you're a teacher, and you saw what happened last year. Your own son had stuff taken away from him, as all the seniors did last year. So how do you apply that? What does that mean now in terms of, like, okay, a limited 7-game season or whatever, but it is for your seniors, and it's a special time. And I hate to say it, but in a way, you know, they're lucky. They're lucky to be able to do this right now.
Yeah, and that has made everything easier. So the most interesting thing that has happened this spring to me is, and something that will make total sense, and that's just simply this. Everything you just said is spot on. So each practice we have and each one of those 7 games, even if it gets reduced down to 3 games because, you know, things happen along the way, that everyone is just a gem. You know, it's an absolute gem. Being outside on the field is the best day of the week. You know, every time you get out there, it just gets better every day. The game we played last Saturday, I know from Beverly's perspective, they probably don't feel this way, but it was sunny out. We were on a football field. There were people there. There were cheerleaders. There were people were cheering. The band was playing. You know, you just missed that so much. And then it came back all in one day. And that, I think, for me at least, you know, made everything kind of go away. And so, again, you know, you get out on the practice field and you're just happy to be there. The kids are so happy. We have not had to try to motivate anybody to do anything this year. No matter, you know, usually in the past you say, hey, today's a big hitting day. We're going to go, you know, full pads, you know, get all the stuff out for our hitting circuit or tackle circuit, whatever it is, and you'll hear groans, you know. But this year, you know, no matter what you do, the kids are excited. The kids were thrilled to go to the JV game today. The freshmen were fired up. It's really been nice because everyone is in just such a great mood because it feels like things are beginning to open up. And it, you know, whether it is or isn't, to in a football player's mind, at least right now, they're getting some normalcy.
Well, we've talked to so many coaches who have said the exact same thing that you're saying in terms of kids' motivation and so on. But I think the big thing is that their perspective has changed. And, you know, the carpe diem thing that I've had hammered into my life as long as I've been alive, and I never quite understood that because I'm always saying, well, there's always a tomorrow. They're getting that now. They're getting the importance of this and how special it is. And the fact that the other thing, Jim, before we get into the game is the resilience and the I don't know, the logistics of playing football right now, because I think it was St. Mary's and St. John's Prep. They each had their game canceled last week and they ended up playing each other within a two day scheduled notice. The idea that this is happening, it sort of bodes well to the commitment that education has toward these kids and how important that athletics are to education.
Yeah, I mean, this has been the big theme of, I think, everybody in, whether it's the parents of school, you know, there's plenty of disagreement out there, but is to get the kids engaged in some way, shape, or form. You know, try to give them as many opportunities, and we may not be able to present all the same opportunities as in a normal year, but give them as many possible opportunities. You know, make sure that you're still able to, you know, put on some sort of a theater production. Make sure that the band, an orchestra are able to be involved in the chorus and all the sports teams, you know, anything that in a normal year should be available to these kids. You know, we've really made an effort in Marblehead to make available, and it's been commendable. I know the parents want everyone back in school, you know, that other people can argue about that as much as they want, but, you know, whether it's getting the kids back, it's just getting them engaged in something, and whether it's in the classroom or on a field or something, that's the biggest thing. And because we do see, you know, there's going to be some damage from this down the road a little bit with these kids that missed some things. And I'm not talking about games or practices, but they've missed some social things, they've missed some educational things. And, you know, we won't know for a little while what that's going to be, but the commitment of, I think, everyone involved that I've seen, at least, to try to get kids as involved and as engaged as they possibly can in a number of different things has been tremendous.
Let's focus on the game, big game against Beverly over the weekend at home at Piper, and you guys executed. It looks pretty well according to the score and according to Phil Stacey's report, 34-7, and he emphasized how when he talked with your kids, they were just so excited to be out there. But in terms of performance, Coach, first game, critique it for me.
Yeah, you know, if you can't be anything but happy. You know, the kids played great. You know, that we ended up on the good side of the score, so very, very happy about that. The fact that we were able to execute it all after an unusual start to the season, no double sessions, no time with school off. We did everything while we were teaching classes, and that's unusual, you know, as teachers / coaches, not used to having the first day of football be on a day where you taught all your classes too.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very unusual, but the kids responded. They did great. We had a couple key players come back in key positions, and that helped. You know, having our quarterback back, someone that can run the show, was very helpful. Having our free safety back on the defense to do kind of the same thing, and our middle linebacker, our Mike Backer, those three things, having those three people back, were a tremendous help, because those were guys, leaders on at different points of attack that needed to be there for us and made things a lot easier on the coaching staff. I had all my coaches back, which was extremely helpful. And then, you know, four probably the best captains I could have, kids that really have stuck out this year and been very, very good, very, very good captains for the team. And those things all kind of came together, and I think, you know, on Saturday, you know, helped us get over the hump a little bit.
Coach, can you mention the captains' names, please?
Yeah, J.T. Monahan, Miles Smith, Mark Paquette, and Cam Janik. They're all seniors, and, you know, a lot of multi-sport guys there. A couple of the guys are already committed to play football. A couple of the guys, Cam Janik's already been accepted at Penn.
Wow.
So, you know, good kids, bright kids. But, you know, they helped put together a Saturday, and, you know, just very lucky to have those guys as captains this year.
Well, my daughter goes to school across the street from Penn at Drexel, so maybe she'll run into a kid from Marblehead. You know, Coach, one of the things that, it's always a pleasure talking with you, because no matter how good things go or how bad things go, you always compliment your kids, pointing out, you know, what needs to get better, and you always compliment the opposition. And I find Phil Stacey's paragraph where you talked about your quarterback in terms of reading coverages. And, you know, watching Cam Newton this year after watching Tom Brady for 20 years, reading coverages, that's not easy at any level, is it?
No, it's not. And you know, it can be done in a couple different ways. And a lot of times you try to start out by simply telling the quarterback, you know, whether or not a team is in one high or two high, or changing that terminology, you know, the middle of the field is open or the middle of the field is closed.
Mm-hmm.
But really what you're trying to do is give your quarterback confidence so that he knows where the areas are. The easiest or the best thing for a quarterback to do is to throw to an empty space and not throw to an open receiver, because it's really difficult for a high school kid to determine when someone is open. And so what's better is to try to determine where are the open spaces. And so reading coverages really helps with that.
I remember you're talking about that to me a while back, and I didn't remember that up until you pointed it out again. I'm a slow read. Coach, coming up this week, you got Peabody. Tell me a little bit about the expectation.
Well, we don't really know a lot about them. PBD had to cancel their game against Winthrop, so we exchanged our game film against Beverly, which has, you know, us in game mode, and we were only able to get from them their scrimmage tape because that's all they've done. So we've only seen them, and you know, in any high school scrimmage, usually only the first half is the starters. So we've really only gotten to see them for about a half. They looked very good against Malden Catholic. They were able to move the ball up and down the field. They run a little bit. Quarterback does a very good job of running around when he's in trouble, but has a very accurate arm, keeps his eyes down the field. And his receivers do a very good job of adjusting their routes and coming back to where he is. So it'll be a challenge. You know, it's going to be very different. It's a complete opposite team of what Beverly does. And so for us, you know, what we have to do is just make sure that we're ready for that other style. We had scrimmaged a team in Winthrop that was, you know, big and would be running the ball a lot, and that helped us a lot against Beverly, but we haven't seen anybody sling the ball around yet. So it'll be interesting to see, how we do against Peabody. And they look good, but it's difficult to tell at this point.
God, I have to. I'm learning so much from you guys. I've been doing this for 40 years, Coach, and it's still, oh, my God, it's amazing. Jim, final thoughts, because all in all, a great week for Northeastern Conference football, and for that matter, Cape Ann League football and the Catholic schools, too.
Yeah. Oh, no, just to be back out there, I mean, no, you'd be kidding not to say that you weren't thrilled. If you have anything, the parents are happy, and I felt bad. And you know, one of the tough things the other day was only being able to have the home parents there. I heard stories about members of our Gridiron Club, our boosters, people that have been supporting the football program for 40-50 years, weren't able to get into the game, and it just is what it is that's going on out there. But it just shows you, you know, people are excited, people are just happy that this is going on, and hopefully things will open up soon.
Well, Bill Newell said that the Marblehead video coverage was absolutely spectacular, so that's still out there, and people can do that. And the other thing, Jim, I've asked coaches about this, except for your seniors, you know, because it's special for them. This is almost like a college a spring thing, in that you're going to be able to use this in just a couple of weeks, or a few months, rather, to get right back into the grind. So it could be a lot of positives, as I think you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, it's a great point. You know, if you look at a team's roster, if they have a lot of sophomores and juniors that are playing this year, as much as that may hurt this season, this spring, it's going to be a huge boost. You'll see teams' offenses and defenses get a little bit more sophisticated next fall, if that's the case, because you've got all these kids returning. And when you look at some of those teams are, Swampscott, Marblehead, Danvers, they're going to be returning a lot of young kids, or kids that, you know, are either all junior teams that are pretty much all juniors, or are not that many seniors. You know, that's going to be very interesting next fall, because all of those teams have so many kids that are returning, and they just got done playing football.
Coach, please stay safe. Thank you so much for letting me pick your brain, and I hope to talk with you again in the not too distant future.
Absolutely. Thanks, Rick.
Thanks, Jim. Take care.